Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I am Andrew Kahn.
I'm Ryan Zook.
And I'm Aaron McMahon.
The college football playoff semifinal at the Rose Bowl between Michigan and Alabama is almost here. And we've got everything you need to know before kickoff, from the major storylines to the keys to the game. That and more coming up on Wolverine Confidential. All right, guys, good to be with you here. The last day of 2023, December 31st, in the morning in Los Angeles, but the early afternoon back in Michigan and Eastern time. We're here in our hotel. The Michigan Marching Band is here. The cheerleaders are here. The football team is not. They're at a different establishment. But we're all here in downtown Los Angeles in preparation for the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. We went out there yesterday to the stadium. We were in the parking lot under a tent, not exactly the glamorous Rose Bowl iconic setting. We'll get that tomorrow. But yeah, just kind of first thing, you guys did a podcast a couple days ago, but that was before the big media day where we got every player on the roster, the entire coaching staff of both teams. I don't know, biggest thing or two, most entertaining thing you witnessed, most insightful conversation you had, just something from Saturday's media day you could share with our listeners.
Oh, man. Well, unfortunately, what stood out to me, it was just very discombobulated and loud and chaotic. And there was, unlike the Fiesta Bowl where there was name tags and very organized, it seemed like this year was I was trying to transcribe some quotes afterwards. I'm like, man, I could barely hear what these guys were saying because it was so loud in there. But, you know, I mean, Jim Harbaugh talked about some interesting things. Nothing really stood out to me from media days. I mean, I spoke a little bit with Alex Orji and him being the scout team quarterback, kind of simulating Jalen Milroe. Had some interesting things to say, and Kirk Campbell too, about his arm talent improving, his footwork improving, and maybe his future at Michigan and potentially being in the running for a starting quarterback job next year. But other than that, I mean, nothing too crazy on my end.
Jim seemed willing to discuss Jayden Davis, as I think we reported earlier in the week. You know, he's practicing with the team. He's on the trip. Obviously, he's not going to play, but he seems to be like a big storyline this week, just the four-star recruit they brought in as part of this recruiting class. Zook was there too. You know, we were asking Jim about it, and he was pretty open and willing to talk about Jayden Davis and some of the improvements he's asked him to make. I think Zook's got a story up on MLive.com currently, so I encourage everyone to go check that out. I had a nice 20-minute conversation with Rick Minter. I know it's probably not the sexiest name in the world, but man, the guy has so much football knowledge. And, you know, he's now technically an assistant coach on staff. After Chris Partridge was fired, he was elevated, and real insightful guy. I mean, you learn a lot. You kind of start to understand where Jesse Minter came from and just the football acumen and knowledge he has. Great conversation. I have a story up currently on MLive.com/Wolverine, so encourage everyone to check that out. Also spoke with Zach Zinter finally after the gruesome knee injury or leg injury he suffered against Ohio State. He tells me he's walking with crutches, as some of us have seen. He anticipates being fully healthy, recovery at least in time for the NFL combine. He doesn't know how much he's going to do there, but he certainly is leaving for the NFL, and he anticipates being ready to go for NFL rookie mini camp. So yeah, not a ton of, I guess, earth shattering news. I mean, you rarely get any of that out of this stuff, because at this point in the game, at this point in the preparation for a bowl game, everything has been said pretty much. So it's hard to get anything new, but it's always good to have those face-to-face conversations with some of these folks, especially the ones we don't talk to on a regular basis.
Aaron, I haven't been able to read your story yet, but did Minter say much about, I mean, how long he plans on being in this linebackers coaching role, or is this more of an interim basis before they hire someone full time?
Yeah, I didn't explicitly ask that, but the vibe I got was this certainly is an interim deal. You know, I don't think he expected to do this. You know, he basically came on staff to basically help Jesse. You know, that's kind of been the MO. He's 69 years old now, so he's not necessarily in a position to probably do this on a day-to-day regular basis, but he was willing to.
Hey, don't tell that to Nick Saban.
I know, right? Right. But, you know, he spoke about, like, you know, he lives in Ann Arbor now. His grandkids, Jesse's kids, go to school with some of Jim's kids. So, I mean, there's there's obviously a bond there. He was telling me stories about this week, in fact, you know, having conversations with Jack and Jackie Harbaugh up in the hotel concierge lounge. So he's really gotten to know the Harbaugh family. He knew John before really well. He didn't know Jim so much, but he's you know, having been around him now the last couple of years, he's gotten greater respect for Jim.
Yeah, I'm going through. I've got the Michigan, the MLive Michigan football app. I mean, MLive's got a lot of apps. There's just the regular MLive app, which will get you, you know, our stories as well, but a bunch of other things. But we have a specific Wolverines football app too, and it's just a lot of content from the three of us this week. So I encourage readers to go check that out, or you know, MLive.com/Wolverines works as well, because there's aforementioned stories with Jaden Davis and Rick Minter. I'm seeing Samaj Morgan headline, Roman Wilson, obviously plenty of Harbaugh stuff, James Turner notes from the practice. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff on here with more to come. Yeah, I guess let's talk about this game a little bit and this matchup and anything we've kind of learned since we started previewing this a month ago, basically. What you've got here is an undefeated Michigan team and an Alabama team that has not lost since, you know, September, you know, a home game against another playoff team, Texas. They're really an ascending team. Michigan has just been pretty steady and dominant all year. Obviously, some closer calls later in the season against better competition. But now here we are. I guess keys to the game. What have you learned about kind of what will be important for to determine who actually wins this game and advances to the national championship?
I think for Michigan, it kind of starts and ends with Jalen Milroe, right? If you can limit the big plays on his end, if you can force him to making some mistakes and not beating you through the air with a deep ball, I think Michigan stands a shot. He's gotten better as the season has gone on. Players have acknowledged that. They've seen it on film. Jim Harbaugh has been talking him up a lot. But I think he's really kind of where it begins and ends for Alabama. Alabama's got a great defense. I mean, they got some key playmakers on that side of the ball. I think there are avenues for them to exploit that. But it's going to come down. I mean, it sounds cliche, but this is what really hurt them last year against TCU. It's the mistakes. It's the turnovers. If you can avoid those and force those on the other side, you got a really good shot to win. You know, I don't think this is necessarily an elite Alabama team of the past. I mean, they got some great players, don't get me wrong, but there are ways that Michigan can win this game, and it starts and ends with them, you know, not beating themselves. And it's something the players acknowledge. Blake Corum's talked about it. They've talked about getting out to a fast start and not putting themselves behind the eight ball like they did the last 2 years in the playoff. If they can accomplish most of that, I think there's a good shot to come out victorious.
Is there, who has Michigan faced that has been a running quarterback this year? I mean, am I missing someone? Am I forgetting about someone?
The Nebraska guy.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Heinrich Harburg. Yeah, he had broken off a couple long ones.
And then, Talia didn't really run at all. So, he had the ability, but he didn't really run. So it's going to be a completely new look for them. And even in years past, they haven't really fared very well against quarterbacks like Milroe. So that is definitely a concern.
I think the pressure is going to be on the linebackers, right? The middle linebackers, Junior Colson, Michael Barrett, Ernest Hausman to some regard. Colson's not 100%, as we know. He's still got the cast on his left hand. I don't know if he's going to have anything on his right hand, but he's clearly limited with his arms. So I think this is where Michael Barrett and some of those, those middle guys are going to be key here. Milroe, the knock against him early in the year was he was holding on the football too much. He was, taking sacks. He was forcing stuff. That he started to clean that up, and I think that's one of the reasons why we've seen Alabama make the progression that they've had. I'm fascinated to see how they defend him, because I, again, as I said just a few minutes ago, that's going to be the key to this game. I think if they can limit him, I think it's going to force Alabama to, get into uncomfortable situations. And I think when they do that, they've shown that they can be beaten.
Yeah, I think this is J.J. McCarthy and the offense's game to go win. I mean, the defense has been pretty solid throughout the year, and I think you kind of I don't see them getting the doors blown off their defensive unit, I think. But Michigan's going to need to score enough points, probably more than 24 points to win this game. I think that's their magic number. And they didn't look great against Iowa. Ohio State scoring 30 was pretty good look, but again, some mishaps against Maryland before that too. So they haven't been humming at the same rate that they have earlier in the year, and that's mainly been because of JJ McCarthy. He's going to need to have a clean game and a solid game, and probably get the tight ends involved a little bit. And I just don't see them having enough success just running the ball with Corum and Edwards and without Zinter in there to be able to run the ball 60-70% of the time. I think they're going to need to be balanced, and they're going to need to have success in the past game for them to win this game.
One of my favorite quotes, it didn't come here in Pasadena. It came out back in Ann Arbor before we left. You know, JJ, what did you learn about, you know, your last year's experience in the college football playoff semifinal and what you need to do differently? And he just said, not throw the ball to the other team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's so true. That's, you know, Michigan was in this game 2 years ago, got blown out by Georgia. Last year, really should have beat TCU. And then they probably lose to Georgia in the national championship. But you could say, all right, they took that next step. And now this year they could try to take an additional step and win it all. So I say that to say this, are you guys in the, I gotta see before I believe? I need to see Michigan actually win one of these playoff games before I'll pick them to do so. Cause I know we're going to get into our predictions for this game here. Is that kind of where you're at? Or do you think, you know, this is I don't want to say team of destiny, but a team that, you know, is capable of beating an SEC team, a team that has just been so, so good, in the semifinal playoff game.
Yeah, I'm totally on board with that. I mean, it took me a while I was in the other camp when Michigan was playing Ohio State and they couldn't get over the hump there. I wasn't going to pick them until they could do it. And they were obviously able to finally do it. So 1-6 in bowl games. I mean, we've seen what they've done the last 2 years on the college football playoff stage. I hesitate, right? Like they haven't gone up against an SEC team all season. They haven't played Alabama. And so it's hard to handicap. It really is, because you got two programs kind of in different lanes, right? They're in different conferences, different leagues, playing kind of a different brand of football. So it's difficult to figure out here. And that's why I think I lean Alabama. We've been talking about it for weeks now, and it just, they have enough playmakers on defense. They have, I think, a quarterback who is mobile and, you know, shows Michigan something different. And I don't know how they're going to deal with that, how they're going to adjust. And that's why I lean Alabama here. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I don't see either side running away with this game. I'm expecting a close, tight-knit game. I think it'll probably be a dogfight early on. I don't think there'll be many points. It'll be a feeling out process. But yeah, I got to lean the Crimson Tide at this point. Until Michigan can show me that they can do on the big stage, I mean, I have no reason to pick them.
It is pretty crazy, because I think this is the best Michigan team I've covered. And I think this Alabama team isn't really at the same standard as they have been in the past. And I'm still leaning Alabama just because of all those factors Aaron just mentioned. I mean, the SEC has been the better conference this year. And yeah, Michigan might rank number one in scoring defense and number two in total defense, but the offenses in the Big Ten this year were so bad. And yeah, they performed well against the competition, but like, there's no dominant team in college football this year. I mean, the SEC might not be as dominant either, but I think their teams were better, and I think they were more battle tested. Beating Ohio State again was a huge win for Michigan. Going on the road against Penn State, big win. But yeah, when it comes to the stage, and when Nick Saban has a month to prepare for teams, like, there's a reason why his teams are so good in the semifinals. And I think he'll have his team more prepared than Harbaugh in this one. And I'm leaning Alabama in a close one, but it's just, I don't know. The talent is there on Alabama too. So it's like, yeah, they might not be as dominant, but the fact that stars matter, it's still a thing. And when you look at the star composites of both these teams, I mean, Alabama definitely has an advantage. And yeah, Michigan's going to have a lot of 3 stars get drafted, and they've been really good at developing, but there's just too many factors that I feel like in years past that have kind of led me to this conclusion. But until I see it, I'm going to lean Alabama on this one.
Here's the question I keep asking myself when I keep thinking about this game. If you were to pick this Michigan football team up and place it in the SEC, where would you think it, you know, where do you think they would end up? Would they be the best team? Would they be number two, number three? If you're questioning that, if you don't know if they're the best team in the SEC, then I don't know, I have a hard time again picking them. I think you nailed it, Zook. I think the SEC top to bottom is a better conference. I think Alabama saw better competition week in and week out. And don't forget, up until the SEC championship game, that Georgia was like the presumed number one, right? Everyone assumed that they were going to three-peat and they're going to be this dominant team, and Alabama still went in there and beat them. So I don't know. I have reservations. I hesitate. But you know, that's why they play the game Monday night. I'm really looking forward to seeing how Michigan shows up on the big stage.
Just to hammer home the numbers from kind of what we've been talking about, Michigan won its first bowl game, won a bowl game in Harbaugh's first season to cap the 2015 season. They've lost six straight since. Alabama has won eight straight of its kind of first bowl games, because they've been in the playoffs so many times. They've sometimes won that first game and then lost in the national championship. They're 3-3 in the national championship over this span of winning eight straight bowl games, essentially. So this is a program that clearly has it figured out as far as the month between games, taking each week, each day, and maximizing it without overdoing it. Now Michigan has made changes to their pre-game routine. Going back to their time in Ann Arbor, they were doing things a little differently, they said, and trying not to wear themselves out before kickoff. So we'll see. I think Michigan has the edge at quarterback, and I think that's huge. I think, the way Michigan, runs 11 guys to the ball, I don't think Milroe's, size will be and power will be as much of a factor as maybe some people think. I still think he's prone to mistakes, and I think they get a turnover there somewhere, a fumble, an interception. And I keep pointing to the punt game. I think Samaj Morgan really could break one, or Alabama could have struggles there. They actually made a change, during this season from, who was doing it, because they had a guy who had the yips basically. And, the current guy is been struggling as well. So, I think, they both have really good kickers. Alabama's was actually a finalist for the Lou Groza Award. Michigan's probably would have been if he had just had more opportunities. So these teams are evenly matched. I think this is a semifinal playoff game worthy of being that. The winner's going to the national championship, and I think that's fair. It's a, 1 or 2 point spread? I think that's fair. But I picked Michigan to win every game this year before the season, win the national championship. I'm not going off of that. I'm not changing course now. I still think Michigan is overall a better team. Hear what you're saying about their schedule, but they face an Ohio State team at full strength, Penn State, Iowa, both elite defenses, and they managed to still move the ball and do enough offensively to win those games. So I'm going with Michigan, but I do think it'll be an instant classic.
Right. Look, like that's why this I was so excited about this matchup, because I mean, you could literally pick either team and you could justify both picks, and like it wouldn't be outrageous to do that. Like I wouldn't be surprised if you see a split down the middle and when these prognosticators make their predictions. It's that evenly matchup, and it's such an intriguing matchup because it's the SEC and Big Ten, because it's Saban Harbaugh, and because of the similarities, the quarterback, the first round talent, second round talent, the Rose Bowl mystique. Like there's so many things that make this it would be disappointing if it's not an instant classic, just because there's been so much buildup and you can see both teams being evenly matched, and you really can't go wrong picking either way. But it should be a good one.
Kickoff set for 5 p.m. Eastern time, 2 p.m. out here in California. Anybody do a weather check here lately? It's maybe cooler than some people might think, though. Maybe people are more familiar than I was coming out here as far as what to expect. But 62 is the high, and sunny for tomorrow. It's 54 degrees now here at 10 a.m. But by kickoff, tomorrow it should be in the high 50s and sunny.
Let's go! I love it.
Earlier in the week, there was talk of rain, which just didn't seem right. You should have the iconic sunset behind the San Gabriel Mountains and the Rose Bowl Stadium, the venue. It's a kind of a mini big house in a way. There's not tiers to this thing. It's a bowl. Fans should be pretty evenly split. I don't know. We haven't been out and about so much these last couple of days. I think today will be a big day to kind of see what the fans are. are like, but I would think it'd be pretty split. You know, Michigan's well represented out here in California already with so many alums. And I know many were willing to travel to this game, but you know, I think it should be pretty balanced and make for a great environment.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Like you're talking about the crowd split, and I was talking to some of the Alabama writers the other day, and they don't seem to think a lot of the Alabama fans are going to travel to this game. They think maybe some of them are looking ahead to the national championship, which might be like some folks who perceive some of the players. I know when talking to the players the last couple of days, you know, there's almost come across as this like elitism, like they feel like they're the elite, they're better team, superior team. That, you know, there's been a lot of talk about like the SEC versus Big Ten. So I don't know. I expect Michigan fans to turn out. I mean, remember, they got a huge alumni base in Southern California. This is the first time they've been in the Rose Bowl in a very long time. And this could very well be the end of the road for Jim Harbaugh and some of these players. So no doubt, I think there's going to be a lot of maize and blue in the Rose Bowl Stadium on Monday.
And Houston's closer, of course, to Alabama, and the Rose Bowl doesn't hold that same mystique for SEC fans. That, you know, the Big Ten obviously has had that connection with the Big 12. Zook, any final words here before we sign off?
No, I mean, Aaron mentioned it too. Like this could be potentially the Harbaugh's last ride with Michigan. I mean, he reportedly hired an agent late on Saturday night. Yeah, and so I mean, that's who's based in Pasadena, California. So yeah, the rumors. I feel like there's a little bit more legs to him this year, and we'll see what this 2023 Michigan team can accomplish, and a lot's on their plate. There's a lot of pressure on this group to get it done and deliver the first national championship since 1997. And it's going to be interesting to see how they respond with all the eyeballs on them.
Big picture college football. It's the last season of the 4-team playoff before it expands to 12. It's the last season of somewhat normal conferences, traditional conferences, that is, alignment. I know there's already been plenty of change, but, you know, we haven't had the West Coast schools come into the Big Ten yet. And then from, you know, smaller picture, Michigan, Harbaugh could be gone. A good chunk of the major contributors to this team could be gone next year. It seems like the stakes are just so high for Michigan in this game, you know, to try to punch a ticket to the national championship.
The chips are in. I mean, they pushed their chips in the middle of the table. I mean, it's Blake Corum set up for the season, right? National title or bust. They've spoken about that. A couple of players were asked about it a couple of weeks ago. If a loss here would be a disappointment, and it would. I mean, they're not only here to win, beat Alabama, but win a national championship. So this is really step one in kind of a two-step process. We'll see if they can get it done. A lot of eyeballs are going to be watching. I think a lot of fans are eager to see how the Wolverines respond. I'm looking forward to it. It doesn't really get any bigger than this. You know, they talk about the Rose Bowl being the granddaddy of them all, and this game certainly is that.
You even see the advertisements for both games, and it's like everyone I see, it's about the Michigan-Alabama matchup. It's hard to, like, hey, Texas and Washington are still playing too. Sometimes you need a reminder, remind yourself, because you're not seeing it promoted, it seems like, as much as this Alabama-Michigan game.
Yes, another game that should be very competitive, an undefeated team, one-loss team that's been playing great lately. So, yeah, very, very interesting how that coverage has gone. But, yeah, this is it's the granddaddy of them all. Michigan has won every single game in 2023, but they will need a win on the first day of 2024 to reach the national championship. We'll have full coverage on MLive.com/Wolverines. Thanks for listening.